Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2nd International Film Festival and Awards Macau. And I'm very pleased to be joined by director Sarmad Masood and actress Suhai Abro, who are here with the film My Pure Land. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
It's a great pleasure. I watched the film this morning, and I guess to start us off, I'd like to ask the director, would you care to introduce it a little bit for our listeners who may not be familiar with it yet?
Yeah, so it's being described as a modern-day feminist western, based on an extraordinary true story of one woman and her family who defended their home and land from 200 bandits. And we tell the story non-linear, so she's at the house with her mother and her sister and a helper in the house, and her uncle comes with three guys trying to get into the house. She fights them off. He comes back with 20 guys. She fights them off, and then he comes back with 200, and I won't ruin the end.
Based on a true story, yeah. So I'm very interested to know more about this, the real side of it.
Yeah, so I was thinking of doing a film in Pakistan, and I was doing some research on the internet, and I came across this story in the Express Tribune, and I straight away thought it is a phenomenal story, which sort of excited me. But what appealed to me was the courage and strength of this one woman. So I got in touch with the people who'd written the article, the journalists, spoke to them at length. They then gave me the contact details for the actual lady, Narzo, and her husband. I spoke to them. I said, I'm a filmmaker. I'd really like to make a film about you. I have no money, but I'm going to try to tell your story honestly. She had a couple of questions. She said, will I be in the film? I said, no, don't worry. We'll get somebody to play you. We'll get an actress. And then she said, will there be a song and a dance in the film? I think because she watches a lot of Bollywood films. I said, no, there'll be no song and a dance. So then she thought it'd be a documentary. I said, no, it'll be a song and a dance film without a song and a dance. But they have been really supportive throughout the whole process. You know, we liaised with them a lot. We sent them a copy of the script to read before we shot the film as well. But I'm really looking forward. They haven't seen it yet. I'm really looking forward to showing them the film at some point.
Well, it's a fascinating story. And so are you very familiar with it before you were approached to make this film? And how did you connect with this, with the character that you play?
It's a story that I had heard of, yes, because I live in Pakistan, I live in Karachi, and I come from the region that this story had come from, so I had definitely heard about it, but I only really focused on it when Sam approached me to act in this film. Initially, I was quite intimidated by the character because she's a very strong person. She knows what she wants, and you know, the involvement of weapons in the film kind of freaked me out initially. So later, I did find that actually her and I have a lot of qualities that can be similar. For example, the passion, you know, for fighting for her belongings, for herself, her family, and the willpower that she had, because I think somewhere in my life I also have a strong willpower, and so that's when I really started to connect with her.
Very good. Well, is this a common thing in Pakistan?
I think land disputes, unfortunately, are prevalent throughout the country. We got a statistic from the USAID, and they said there are 1 million cases currently pending, and they are just the ones that have been documented. And I know within my own family, there are disputes about land, perhaps in Sahai's family, and anyone listening, if they're South Asian, there just seems to be this issue with land throughout the country. It's a shame, and we're shining a light on one story, which is a microcosm for a lot of stories happening in that country right now.
But I'm also interested, and you mentioned it as well in your introduction to the film, that the film does kind of resemble the Western, you know, yeah. The Western genre. And that influence is very interesting. Were you informed by the type of Western style?
It's funny, because I'd visited Pakistan quite a lot as a child, and it always appealed to me. What had always appealed to me was just the chaos of that country, the madness, the heat, and the people. But I never knew how that was going to come out in any kind of form. And then when I came across this story, what did appeal to me was this element of a Western. And in the traditional aspect of a Western, you had the good versus the bad. You had like a lawless landscape, which was quite barren at times, you know, in the old West. And I think Pakistan, there are areas within Pakistan where it is lawless, and it is a case of law of the land, which is whoever has got the biggest gun, because there's no comeback from the police, because they kind of leave that area alone. And that is something that did appeal to me. I mean, it's modern day in the sense, it's a bit timeless, our film, so we don't have mobile phones or satellite dishes or anything like that. But we'd say that the film is timeless in that aspect, yeah.
And you also mentioned the word feminist.
Yeah. It's because, I guess, our lead is Sahai, and it's based on this one woman defending her home and land. So we didn't have a male who, you know, her father is really important within the whole story, but it's being led by this woman, and critics have sort of adopted and said it is a feminist Western, which, you know, we're happy to take that title if they want to throw it at us, yeah.
You also mentioned that you were kind of intimidated by the guns and the weapons in the film, and maybe even the violent side of the story. How did you approach that part?
I think Sam asked me to try shooting them first, and we had gone into this studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
This is a good thing, yeah.
We had gone into the studio where I was supposed to shoot an AK-47.
Let me add. So she's not firing an actual gun.
No.
So we had blanks. So they were firing blanks. It was a decommissioned weapon. But it felt real. Carry on, Sahar.
Yes. It felt real. The only thing that still scared me was the loud, explosion, the noise of it. Because I'm really someone who's not used to weapons, and neither is my family. So it was a bit scary. And so every time we'd be shooting, I'd tell the assistant directors, you have to let me know a day before, we're shooting the weapon scenes. And so this one time I remember we ended up shooting the time when this girl is shooting it for the first time herself. And I remember that day, I wasn't told a day before, and I just got told the same day. And everything was really real. So at that point, I was upset because it was like, because I wanted to mentally prepare myself. But actually, I think it really worked for the film, because you can see there how afraid I am and how scared I look. And so that grows into me being comfortable with it later. And now I'm actually quite comfortable with weapons.
Yeah.
I'm holding them.
With blanks. Not real weapons. There's so much to talk about, but one of the touching aspects of this film is that the father keeps trying to tell stories and no one seems to have time to listen to them.
Yeah.
It's kind of something that I picked out because it is quite a touching element of the film, and I wondered whether that was an important kind of small detail in the film. I believe someone actually says, there's no time for stories now.
No, I think it's hilarious. There's a couple of things. I like telling stories, long stories. My wife's sitting there. She's like, yeah, just get to the end. She's more of a punchline person. And then my father's the same. So he taught us, our religion and everything in life via these, long parables, either from the Quran or wherever they were from. And they kind of stay with you. I think they stay with you as a kid and as an adult. And I thought it was quite interesting reading about Narzo's father, that he was a very progressive father for that period, growing up in Pakistan. Like people are talking about now, there are still issues with families and women and how patriarchal the society is. But this was a man who was very progressive. And I know in the UK we're talking about gender neutral language, but in Pakistan, there's still this issue of feminism and are men and women equal. But he treated his daughters as equals to men, and he had this. I think he had a similar thing where he would, I guess, because some people are illiterate in villages, it's an oral tradition. But I thought it was really funny that maybe he's already told these stories, and they're like, yeah, okay, we know the end of that one. Carry on. And it's not until really towards the end of the film. Without giving it away, but he tells a longer story. But it did matter to me a lot. And I know we are pitching it as a modern-day feminist Western, but Trojan Horse within that is a lovely story about a father and a daughter. Mm. Yeah.
I think I feel the same about this, like Sam does. It's true. I'm also someone who likes to tell stories a lot, and I think it's something special. And there's always, he's not just telling stories for no reason. There's always something so beautiful, like the last story that she thinks about, which is in the dream sequence. I think it's very beautiful, but at the same time, that the world has become very fast now, and nobody has the time. Everyone wants to, get to their places, and so.
Okay, well, we're out of time, but I thank you very much for talking to us about your film. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, and sorry we're a little bit late.
Thank you so much.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.